We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Christopher, we got a guest. Let's ride.
Hey, what's up, homes?
This hour is being brought to you by Pearl Mortgage. Go to perldavid.com. And this segment is being brought to you by Spot Hero. And finally, here's a way you can save time parking. Use Spot Hero anytime you park. First-time users can enter promo code SMART for $10 off. Spot Hero, park smarter. My name is Lawrence Holmes. I'm here with you until 10 o'clock. Every week during the football season, I have the pleasure to sit next to my man, Lance Briggs, number 55 from the Chicago Bears. We take the show out on the road, and today we are at the Edison Park Inn for the Miller Lite Top Draft Show. So, if you're in the area, you're on the northwest side, and you're like, I don't know what to do now, you should come on through. Boogie is here. The Quinn girls. I mean, it is amazing. There's a baby up in here. I mean, it's pretty nuts right now. We are having a good time, and we are glad that you are along for the ride. Man, how you doing, 55?
Oh, I'm doing good. I'm doing good.
What'd you get?
A little tuna melt. Take a little bit of bread off, you know. But
look at you being healthy.
I just enjoy tuna.
All right. You're unbelievable. Well, I'm glad that you're here, and there's so much stuff that I want to discuss when it comes to the Bears. I want to start with something where I saw your ears perk up when I was talking with Anthony about our guy, where you at, Leonard Floyd.
Mm-hmm.
How would you assess Leonard Floyd?
I would assess it very differently for a guy that was drafted as a top 10 pick. And whether Khalil Mack is in or he's not in, or Akeem Hicks is in or he's not in, you know, when you're drafted that high, you know, the expectation of your production, you're supposed to be a force on your side, let alone, you know, have two other guys that are forces at their position. I expect more. I have expected more. My expectation for him will always be high. And I'm not going to lower it because, you know, he hasn't produced up to this point at that level. You know, I'm going to continue to critique him as if he was a top 10 pick because he was evaluated. And for whatever reason, the evaluator said, this is a guy that has to be taken at this number. You know, and when you talk about two picks later, Brian Urlacher was drafted at number 9. Okay. And he's had a Hall of Fame career. Okay, and that's what you expect out of a guy that's drafted at 9, a top 10 pick. Leonard Floyd was drafted 2 picks before Brian Urlacher. Okay, so I'm not going to lower my standard for anybody that's drafted that high. I won't do it for anybody that's drafted, period. If you get up there and you show that you can play football and you can play it at a high level, then you've just proven that that's something that you should be able to do every week. It shouldn't just be a weak thing where, you know, you're a flash in the pan and you know, if you love the game of football and you can play at that level, come out and do that. Do it as much as you possibly can.
Did Vic Fangio give Khalil Mack and Leonard Floyd the chances this past week to have success of getting to Tom Brady? Or after you looked at the tape, and I know that you watch the game as closely as anybody when it comes to defensive play, were they just trying to play coverage against Tom and hoping that they got lucky? Because it didn't seem like when we saw Khalil Mack out there in coverage, we're like, wait, what is happening right now?
Over and over and over again. You know, it's hard to get pressure. You look at a guy like up in Denver, you know, their top pass rusher, you know, and you look at the pressure that he was able to get on Tom Brady in the playoffs, you know, it's interesting that our defensive coordinator just chose to play back and play in the coverage rather than play getting pressure on Tom Brady. A lot of things go into play, and a defensive coordinator has to decide, you know, do I think I can get pressure or do I think I need to be in coverage? You know, there's different ways to play the game. Am I worried about what they're doing, or am I going to make them worried about what we're going to do? That's a philosophy, and oftentimes Vic Fangio falls in the category of they need to worry about what we're going to do. I didn't see that against the Patriots. I saw we need to be worried about what they're going to do, and that showed when you see guys like Khalil and Leonard back that many times.
It looked uncomfortable, and I'm not just talking about from an ankle standpoint with Khalil Mack.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing him out there in coverage, I know that he can do just about anything you ask him to do on the football field. It just felt like there were too many times when you want that guy up the field instead
right.
of, you know, backpedaling and dealing with James White all day.
Yeah, and being in some of the positions that he's in, you know, sometimes when he drops, it should be unexpected, you know, from the quarterback. It should be, you know, you're both showing from both sides, and he's able to drop. You know, maybe the quarterback isn't aware that he's the guy that's dropping, because usually he's the guy that's rushing. And so when you're back and you're dropping so many plays, quarterback has already an idea, especially a guy like Tom Brady, already has an idea of how he wants to play those linebackers in that underneath coverage. Underneath coverage is very tough, and that's the coverage that offenses want to take the most advantage of, because their back is to the receiver, so they're looking at the quarterback, so the receiver is able to play the underneath coverage because they can't see the receiver. That's where you find those windows. That's why I talked about spacing.
So the Bears defense with another week where they didn't tackle well.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on?
Tackling is something that's embedded. You know, it's something that you start doing when you start playing the game of tackle football. And in today's game, there's not there's a lot of rules. There's a lot more restrictions, you know, to tackling than there was when I played and when I was young, when I was a kid. But at the end of the day, you are still responsible for taking a man down to the ground. Now, by any means necessary, you know, that within the rules. But you still have to get him down. To me, I don't care how you get him down as long as he goes down, you know, at the very least, because if he doesn't go down, you're not requiring the team to make another play. You know, and defenses will have more chances at making plays the more plays that they force an offense to have to make.
And we've now seen 2 weeks in a row
yeah.
where there's a lot of run after the catch, run after initial contact, whatever
yeah.
you want to call it. There's a lot of that going on. And before that, we had seen a Bears team through the first four games of the season that was pretty sure tackling team.
Yeah.
So they had the Miami tape, and you could say, okay, well, they were coming off a bye. And now you have this tape against the Patriots where it was better, but it wasn't where it was in the first four games of the season.
Is that how we want to look at it? Do we want to look at it, it's okay because they were coming off a bye?
I'm just saying I'm going to give them every benefit of the doubt and say if you had an issue because guys weren't ready because of a bye or whatever.
Have these Bears been in a game this year that you believe they couldn't have won?
No.
Right.
I felt like they could win every game they played.
Every game that they've played.
Including this one where there was no Gronk.
Correct.
Sony Michel gets hurt.
Gets hurt, right.
And the Patriots played sloppy. They had 7 penalties.
Absolutely. So you know, what kind of season do you want to have? Is it going to be a season where you look back and you say, dang, I know that I say our Bears are good, even though the record doesn't reflect how good this team is? Or are you going to play up to your ability? You know, stop letting games slip by. You know, play up to your potential. Play up to the ability that I know that you have. You know, and so with that being said, I will not, you know, I'm not going to lower my standards for me. When I said I'm on board, it's because I believe that this team is capable of being of not only winning the NFC Championship, but making a run deep into the playoffs.
I think that we had the same reaction
mm-hmm.
when we were listening to Nagy after the game. He sounded like oh, well, I mean, we almost tied the Patriots. It seemed he seemed like very satisfied with what the team did.
Right.
What did you think of that?
I mean, you know, I disagree with it, first of all. I disagree with it. If, you know, the Patriots are a team that I never beat. You know, I played them, I think, believe two times in the regular season, and we lost both times. But the first time that we lost, I think there were 12 takeaways. You know, 12 lost balls by both teams. I think they had, no, 11. We had five. We had six. They had five. You know, and that really became the decider of the game. We left that game thinking, you know, we will play this team again. You know, we want another crack at this team in the Super Bowl. They ended up not going to Super Bowl. Colts went, you know, and they ended up beating us, whatever. But that's the competitive spirit. We never lost that game thinking we were really close to beating the Patriots. We left that game thinking, I want another crack at that team because I know we're better than them.
I agree. I thought it was I understand him being proud that
his team
didn't
fought.
Right. They didn't quit. They didn't fold up. It would have been very easy for that fourth quarter to turn into a nightmare, and it didn't.
I would have rather have heard him say, you know what? I want to see that team again. I rather would have said that's the attitude that you have when you know your team is that good.
Before we talk about the offense, and I know you got some thoughts on Mitchell and the way the offense played and some of the guys that were getting targets on the field on Sunday. The special teams aspect of Sunday's loss is particularly disappointing.
Yes.
What were the breakdowns that you saw? I mean, obviously, you know, Patterson makes an incredible move.
Yeah.
But I remember you guys, you, Matt, and Alex, and by the way, we do the football after show on NBC Sports Chicago after every Bears game. As soon as the clock goes zero, you should turn over there and watch us do our thing. You guys were furious about the block punt.
Yes.
And then seeing all the guys, like no Bears in the picture, as the Patriots fumble the block punt around trying to figure out who's going to pick it up.
Okay, so the argument four was Forte, and he said, well, guys were probably off running off toward the punt returner. The argument against is you know when defenders run past you. When they run past you, and they run past you free and unblocked. You also know what that double block, that double boom sound is. The boom is the punt boom. The double boom is the boom boom. That means the punt was blocked. Turn around and get back to that ball. Salvage whatever you can. And when you have a team that runs up to pick up a ball and they drop it, come back to pick it back up, there should be somebody there. There should be somebody there. Now, I don't know what the stats are, the numbers are behind, you know, block punts, but I've been involved in a lot of block punts. I was on punt team. I was on punt team all college and in high school and briefly in the NFL.
Very briefly in the NFL.
Right. And so once that thing is blocked, guys are fighting to get guys down. You know, it's not an easy task to get into the end zone, and it never should be. And it was easy for the Patriots to get in that end zone.
And Patterson, that return I thought was pretty incredible. That move that he made in the middle of it, where he just kind of sidesteps and then
he fly right by.
You're right. He top gunned it.
He top gunned that thing.
He really did. He was Maverick and he top gunned it. And then how quickly he got back up to top speed was amazing to watch.
He's been doing that for a while. You know, it's not nothing new. I think he's a returner that has to be respected. And also on the backside, you know. I really want to see the wide copy of that because I wonder if blocks were just being sustained long enough that guys from the backside couldn't roll over, you know, what we call a touchdown prevention angle where you're just heading to an angle where you could possibly cut him off. And if you're a R1, R2, typically you're one of the faster guys on that kickoff team. So, you know, those guys being able to roll over, whether they were being blocked or whatnot to roll over, is interesting to see. You know, I wanted to see what type of effort was going and get them down.
You know what? I got something for you. We're going to take a break. When we come back, one of your old teammates, talked with me about this earlier this week. Mm-hmm. Patrick Manley, a guy who would definitely know.
Absolutely, yeah.
I want to share that with you, but we'll take a break before we do it. Lance Briggs is here in the house. It's the Miller Lite Top Draft Show. We are at the Edison Park Inn. You should stop by and come and see us. Lance will be here for another hour or so. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and you're listening to The Score. My name is Lawrence Holmes. We are at the Edison Park Inn tonight, Northwest Side style. The Miller Lite Top Draft Show. Lance Briggs is my guest, my brother from the football after show on NBC Sports Chicago.
Without a doubt.
Number 55. They call him Boogie.
Mm, Boogie down.
You know that's right.
Mm-hmm.
So I told you I had some sound for you.
Okay.
Occasionally I like to run things by you when you're on the show, which is great. Lance, throughout the football season, will be on with me once a week. And Patrick Manley, I called Patrick yesterday. I was like, man, I gotta pick your brain about what happened on special teams.
Okay.
Listen to Patrick's breakdown of the punt block.
You hear the double thud for sure. And when you hear the noise, you know, and you turn and you sprint the other way. I don't know why they didn't turn and sprint as quick. Maybe because it wasn't as loud as a double thud, because I think Dont'a Hightower actually ran through the ball. It didn't really have to use his hands. But yeah, that's concerning when you don't see guys even show up into the screen at the end of the play. You know what I mean? Like, he's already gone 10 yards and you should start seeing guys catching up or getting in the back of the screen towards the end of the play. And, you know, effort is a big thing on special teams. But Lawrence, that came down to just, you know, mano-a-mano poor execution by Ben Bonnicker, and Dont'a Hightower just, you know, kind of ran down his throat, knocked him on his back. He unfortunately tripped over the right guard. I don't know how to say his name, number 45, Joel. I call him Iggy. Tripped on
EA Booneyway is how you say his name.
Actually, you know, trips on him. He goes over faster. And when he did go on his back as quick as he did, Dont'a Hightower looked up and he saw Pat O'Donnell right there. So he said, I'm going to continue going to go block this thing, because it looked to me it was set up to be a return. But there are times in return schemes where if that happens, you have to keep your eyes up and go back there and make a play. And he did. And it just was one of those things where Ben Bronicker didn't have his pads down, got hit underneath the chin, and tripped over the right guard, and we all saw what happened.
And on that play, going back to the way the touchdown was scored, it wasn't like you had the instant, oh, I'm going to take it off the punter's foot. That ball went sideways, and then they couldn't quite pick it up.
Right.
And there were still no Bears around the play.
Right. Lawrence, I don't know. I want to go back and watch that part again, because I sat there and just was breaking down, you know, why it was blocked. I need to go back and check that out to see if there is some lackluster play. I mean, if there is, Chris Tabor's going nuts. I mean, right now he's coaching Ben Bronicker up and saying, this is what you did wrong. You had your pads down. You weren't ready for his punch. But then if you see guys not hustling like you're talking about, that's when a coach will lose his mind.
So that was Patrick Manley on the show with me yesterday, breaking it down. And Patrick's one of our experts here at The Score. It's great to have his point of view. Would you agree with your former teammate?
Without a doubt. I mean, everyone knows about the double thud, you know, as the first thing that Patrick referred to. I know, especially when, you know, when I was playing on, even when I was on the sideline, when I was watching, you know, I know when it's close, the first thing I'm looking for is to hear that double thud. If I hear a boop, I know
it got away.
If I hear the double thud, the boop boop, I'm like, dang, the punt got blocked. Or yes, we blocked the punt. You know, or a field goal. Same thing goes with a field goal. If you hear that double thud, then a field goal was blocked. You know, and that changes the game. That changes the whole outcome.
I always love when you guys would get the opportunity to score, because it was so fun.
It's a lot of fun.
Oh, why is it so fun for defensive players when you make a play and you've got the ball?
Because, you know, defensive players our job, you know, and I say that in quotations, is to defend the end zone, you know, from the offense from scoring. We need to keep them out of the end zone best we can. But the good thing, the cool thing about being on defense is, you know, we don't not only do we have to defend, but we also have the ability to take the ball away and score. You know, and I learned, you know, when I played here for the Bears, that because of necessity that we need to get in the end zone. But, you know, a lot of times when I was, you know, in high school or I was in college, you know, I'd get an interception or I'd pick up a fumble, you know, and I'd get tackled, you know, I'd get tackled here, I'd get tackled there. But never was there a premium on get into the end zone. And then when I realized, you know what, I don't have to go down or I don't have to be pushed out, or I don't have to run out. I can fight all the way to the end zone and get us more points. Or I can help, you know, one of my teammates the best I can to get him in. Even if I run out of air, I need break, I need to, you know, take plays off because of that, I need to come off on the sideline. I want to do everything I can to get in because points are precious. Points are precious, and you put a premium on it. And that's the reason why I brought up Kyle Fuller, because I thought Kyle Fuller should have done more to get in the end zone. And had he gotten in the end zone and got 6 points, maybe the Bears win.
Who was your favorite teammate to have the ball?
Charles Tillman.
Okay. Why?
Charles Tillman. Because he was able to get the ball out so much that he made games fun for a defensive guy. You know, a guy that punches the ball out so much. Now, everybody, when somebody's around Charles Tillman, you're already running there. You already have an idea that this ball may come out, and if it does, I would love to be the guy that receives it.
You want to be able to scoop it up and
In a lot of those, you know, especially on the back end of our careers, on a lot of those punch outs, if you will look, there's a lot of guys that are sprinting to the ball and, you know, and have to realize, okay, you have it, so I'm going to turn and get somebody. You know, but everybody's running to that ball. Just so happens it might bounce toward me or bounce toward Urlacher or bounce toward somebody else. And now we're turning and we're like, okay, you got it. We'll go help you get to the end zone. That's fun.
Who were the best returners? Was it – because you had a bunch. You had Vasher.
Yes.
You had Mike Brown.
Yep.
You had Charles Tillman.
Yep.
You had Lack.
Yeah.
Had yourself. So who was the best at once turning defense into offense with the ball in their hands?
Well, I'm pretty sure that this would be a consensus amongst Lack, Peanut, myself. Mike Brown was probably the best at setting blocks up. I kind of really learned it early on because, you know, our coaches always say get to the numbers. And he would take an interception and he'd run to the middle of the field while we're all with the numbers blocking. He would bend it back to the numbers, and just this big wave of block. We just created this whole wall for him. And I seen him do this like 3 times. You know, after the first time, I knew what he was doing. So after the first time, I remember we were playing Cleveland. At Cleveland, I think the game 3, we ended up losing, but he catches an interception, you know, on our back end, about maybe our 20-yard line, and he starts bending, but I know what he's doing. He's bringing it back. He ends up running all the way down, you know, maybe to their 20-yard line. But it was sweet because we knew what he was doing.
I heard that his way of doing things was to get the offensive linemen moving in one direction, knowing that weren't going to be able to cut it back and really pursue.
Right.
Plus, you guys would be waiting to inflict punishment on those guys.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Do you remember like one of your favorite – what's your favorite block that you had on a return? Did you get someone good?
I don't know if I – you know, I'm not a big blindside guy. I've always been more of a, I'll beat you straight up. You know, I don't want to hit you when you're not looking. I don't want to de-cleat you when you're not looking. And I've hit people hard when they weren't looking, but I always believe that I can beat you straight up, you know, mano a mano. So, you know, just getting the block, a lot of, you know, remember when me and, Peanut had, we had a bunch of blocks for, and we were in Jacksonville, you know, and even though it was only maybe 30 yards, it required 10 men blocking for him to make it to the end zone, which was cool because all 10 men were blocking in front of him, and he was able to weave himself into the end zone.
What was the call when the ball's out? Was there fire? What was it?
We were just ball, 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 ball. And we're turning, we're looking. As soon as we see it, ball. Oh, I'm going to get somebody. Somebody. I want to be the reason why he gets into the end zone.
You want to be on that tape?
Yes. I want to be on the. I want to be a reason that even though I didn't make the play, I made the play.
Lance Briggs hanging out here with me. The bottom of the hour is being brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Lunch plans tomorrow? You should go check out the Wolves. You know why? Because they are playing a rare matinee game. So tomorrow, 11 a.m., professional hockey Allstate Arena versus Cleveland. Enjoy rollback concessions and free parking presented by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Kia dealers. Okay. I want to go back to the defense for a second.
Okay.
Obviously, the Bears are going to take on a young quarterback this weekend, Sam Darnold. And it's a little different than having to deal with Tom Brady, who probably knows what you're in and may know it better than some of the defensive players what you're in.
Facts.
So now you go to a young quarterback. What are the things that are important when you're playing a young quarterback? What types of things do you try to do to that quarterback to get them off their game?
First thing you need to do is stop the run. Second thing you need to do is do what we haven't done for the last 2 weeks, is get pressure. You need to get pressure on him. You stop the run and you get pressure on him. Now they're in a panic situation where we have to – maybe he starts forcing balls where he shouldn't. You know, maybe he starts putting balls in the air before he shouldn't. Before, and maybe you're hitting balls. Maybe you're getting sack fumbles. But the point of the matter is we have to get pressure. We need to get back to what we do well, you know, and that's stopping the run and that's getting pressure.
Bears fans in the last 2 days have been wondering, if Khalil Mack is at 70%, should he be on the field, or would it be better to give him a week off and get him ready for the Buffalo game?
70% is pretty high, and 70% for Khalil Mack is better than 100% for a ton of players in the NFL. So you're going to have to give me a lower number before I say he needs to take a break.
50%.
50% is still pretty doggone good.
All right, so in other words, you think Khalil Mack should play. All right, that's fair.
I think right now, you know, you're fighting for first place. You're fighting to get back to first place. So now you need to, you know, guys have the gut check. You know, you have the gut check. Had the Bears have done what they were supposed to do, they would have been 5-0 going into, you know, New England, and you could have sat him.
And honestly, that's why I thought the Miami game was so important.
It's pivotal.
Because if you're 4-1 and you're like, oh, Tom Brady's in town,
right?
Maybe you take the loss. You're like, okay, we're 4-2.
Gronk doesn't make this flight. Khalil Mack's not going to play today. You know,
right.
We heal him up. He gets from 70 to 89, 91, you know, and now, you know, we have he's a force again.
Are we seeing Tom Brady is Tom Brady. I'm not trying to lump him into this category.
Yeah.
I just think that with both he and Brock Osweiler, you saw get the ball out fast.
Uh-huh.
Some of the stuff to the side, you know, go side to side on the Bears and then watch them not tackle. Are we seeing a theme here?
The formula.
Is that the formula?
It's called the formula. And until the Bears are able to stop it, people are going to keep doing the formula. People may do the formula, even when the Bears do stop it, just to say, okay, hey, you know, maybe they stopped it last week, but let's see if they can stop it this week. People are going to come out, they're going to throw short passes, and they're going to say, hey, these guys can't tackle. You know what I mean? You're going to be able to take a quick slant or a dart route or a quick out, you know, to the house. You're going to be able to get a lot of yards after contact. Once you get the ball, I want you to fight for more yards because these guys can't tackle.
And I would imagine that that's a way to make a young quarterback like Sam Darnold feel very comfortable.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Once you get into a groove and you guys start moving that ball and you realize, you know, everything that we're doing, you know, they can't stop us, you're in a dangerous position for defensively. You're in a very dangerous position because you have to find a way to stop momentum. And the only way you can do that, if they're getting the ball out fast, is by putting the guy down immediately or taking the ball away.
That man's name is Lance Briggs. He went to a whole bunch of Pro Bowls playing defense for your Chicago Bears. He's here with me until 8:30. We're talking about the Bears. We can take a couple phone calls if you want to jump in and ask Lance a question. 312-644-6767. You can also text in the show. 670-11 is the way that you can text in a thought if you want a question for Lance.
I definitely have some thoughts. Man.
He does have some thoughts, and if you've got questions, he's got answers. It's the Miller Lite Top Draft Show. We're at the Edison Park Inn. My name is Lawrence Holmes. You're listening to The Score.
The Lance Briggs is in the house here with me at the Edison Park game. We haven't even really talked about Mitchell Trubisky yet. I promised that we would do
that.
We will talk more about him before Lance is done with this portion of his broadcast week. By the way, you could check this man out on NBC Sports Chicago after every game.
With Lawrence.
With me. With Matt Forte.
And Alex Brown.
And according to Boogie, three of those guys are well-dressed on that show.
Three of them, including Lawrence. One of them needs to step your game up. He actually stepped his game up last week.
He looked pretty good.
He looked good, yeah.
Speaking of which, are we going to do the costume thing this week?
We are doing costumes this week.
Figured out what you're doing?
I know exactly what I'm doing.
Really?
I know exactly what I'm doing.
Are you going to be a lumberjack again?
No, I won't be a lumberjack, but I'm going to be something. It's going to be a surprise.
Scary or funny?
More funny.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not really into the scary stuff. I'm not into haunted houses. They don't really scare me like that.
I've been trying to think. There's a costume that I had in mind. I'm not really the type of guy that dresses up for Halloween either.
Right.
But there's a costume that I have in mind. I'm just trying to figure out if I have enough time to pull it off.
Oh, you do. You should do it. You should definitely do it.
All right. I'll see what I can come up with. I might just come as Comfortable Man. You know what I was thinking about doing?
I want to do that.
Boogie, this is what we do, man. Yeah. This is it. This is the move. Right. We're basketball coaches. Right. That's the move. Because those guys, all they do is wear tracksuits.
Tracksuits.
All
Boom.
Day.
I love that idea.
Yo, man, we're basketball coaches.
Oh, yeah.
Could have like an Arizona like jumpsuit and just roll into the studio.
I'm gonna cut a George Jefferson into my hair, too. What about that?
That would be perfect as well.
Some reading glasses. Yes.
Do it. Why not? If you have a question for Lance, 312-644-6767 is the number. You can also text us your question. 670-11 is the way that you do that. Let's go to Michigan City and let's start with Mark. Hey, Mark, you're on the Score with Lance Briggs.
Hi, Lawrence. Hi, Lance. Great talk to you. I agree with you, Lawrence. The Bears shouldn't make a trade with Howard. Because they're going to need him down the stretch to protect leads when you got a less than a touchdown lead in the last 5-10 minutes of the game. And I think the problem he's having is when the Bears are outside the red zone, they're in the shotgun, and the run plays don't develop fast enough, and for the linemen to maintain holes and lanes for him to go through in a shotgun, it's hard to do, and that's his problem.
I appreciate the phone call, Mark. Thanks for checking in. So this came up over the weekend, the idea of trading Jordan Howard before the trade deadline on the 30th. So it's a week from today. I think 3 p.m. our time next Tuesday, you have to have your trades in by and done. I don't think that it makes a lot of sense to trade Jordan Howard, but I imagine it matters. What do the Bears think they are? Because if the Bears think they're a playoff team, why in the world would you trade Jordan Howard?
If what you're trying to do scheme wise, if he doesn't fit, if you're going to say, you know, no matter what the weather is, no matter what time of the year is, you know, this is what we're going to do, you know, and for much of this season, it's a scheme that Jordan Howard doesn't fit particularly well in. And I'm going to go back to what Matt Forte said. Jordan Howard can fit in this scheme if that's what they want to do. But if that's not what they're doing, you know, Tariq Cohen he's the darling fit for this scheme. And if you're not – if Jordan Howard is supposed to fit in this scheme, he needs more reps. And not just him, but the offensive line needs more reps at doing that power type of up the field zone type of run game, you know, to give them opportunities to see all the looks that they're going to be getting so that they can open holes up for Jordan Howard, you know, when you decide, you know what, we're going to need to run the ball a bit more.
Yeah, the inside zone plays have been effective with Jordan Howard, but there was two runs last week, and it happened the week before. Mm-hmm. But there's two runs last week where he gets 5 yards, then he gets 6 yards, and then he comes off the field. And that's the type of stuff that I don't – quite understand.
Right.
Now, if it's Jordan, and I want to give the benefit of the doubt to Matt Nagy and Mark Helfrich, if Jordan is then saying, take me out of the game, that's one thing. But he's been the guy since he's been here that says, give me the ball 30 times a game. So I can't imagine that
him
after two successful
tap out.
Right. After two successful runs, right. that he now then wants to tap out and not be on the next
play. I couldn't
even
imagine a running back that's tired, you know, after two runs wanting to tap out. Even if you're a little gassed, especially in his situation, you know what? I'll catch my breath. It doesn't matter. I want the ball again. I want an opportunity. I don't want to come off because this might be the play that I might be able to score on. That's what you always got to think as a running back. You know, oh, man, I almost had it. I got tackled. You know, maybe I'm breathing a little bit hard. But if I come out, this might be the play. This might be the play. This might be a screen. This might be the play that I get in the end zone. You know, so you don't ever want to come out. And I imagine you never want to come out. And, you know, it also kind of bothers me because – I looked on my Twitter feed, you know, and on my Twitter feed, there was a fan, a Bears fan, who was upset with me, Alex, and Forte, because we preach about running the ball so often. He thought that
you guys are dinosaurs.
Okay. Yeah, we'd be okay. We're not up to, you know, the current football whatever the football element. You know where
didn't,
we would be
Matt
okay
play
with,
right. last year?
He just played last year, right? But the thing is, and this is a great, you know, you look at the most consistent team, successful team in the last decade is the New England Patriots. Okay, there's a good chance they might be in a Super Bowl again this year. You have a Tom Brady, who arguably greatest of all time. He threw the ball 36 times. Mitchell Trubisky threw the ball 50 times. That should tell you something, that they didn't feel like they needed for Tom to throw the ball more than 36 times to win a game. They ran the ball. That means they ran the ball. They probably were very balanced.
I'm reached the point now where I don't need a 50-50 split. Like, right. I don't need a 50-50 split.
Right.
But I do think that if you are having some success on runs, that you don't just go away from it because. Now,
correct.
Now, granted, the run game last week, not great.
Not good, right.
The called runs were 19 runs for 53 yards. Now, Mitchell did his thing,
well,
but those were scrambles.
You got to look at your situation as well. You know, if you're in a dogfight with a team, and when they say dogfight, that means that they're playing good defense against you. You know, there's a chance that the more plays that you guys have down that field, there's an opportunity for that ball, if it's in the air, to go into the wrong hands, you know. And so controlling the clock and taking your shots when you need to is, I get that. I think that's important. But in a dogfight, the best thing you can do is keep your defense off the field, because the defense that's less tired is going to make more plays. Defense that's on the field the most at the end of the game is going to be the team that's going to make the mistake because fatigue makes cowards out of all of us.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good quote.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go out to Lake Zurich and talk with Todd. Hey, Todd, you're on the score with Lance Briggs.
Hey, guys, it's good to talk to you. Hey, I've been noticing this the quick pass thing since the first week against the Green Bay Packers. If you notice, you know, in the first half of that game, Packers were getting pretty beat up, and they came out, and what they do, they just kind of dink and dunk their way down the field, and they were very successful at it. And then following week against Seattle, you know, they came out and did, Seattle came out in the second half and did the same thing. Fortunately, the Bears won that game, but I've been watching that for weeks now. You know, it's not just in these past couple of weeks, but this has been going on since the very first week that they've been having this issue.
I don't think that there's any secret right now to how to attack the Bears defense. Well, not only are we getting, we're moving the chains, we're scoring touchdowns, but we're nullifying their ability to rush the pass. The Bears' defense, they need to stop the short passes. They need to get defenders down. And once they do that, they can get back to rushing the passer again. But until they do, why would anybody not throw the ball short if the Bears can't stop them?
Why would you have, if you have a quarterback under center, there's no reason to put him in five or seven-step drops. There's no reason
for that. Put
him
in danger.
Yeah, when you can get the ball out in 2 seconds or 3 seconds and then ask the Bears to pursue and tackle.
Right.
Because that's where they're struggling right now.
They haven't exhibited that they can do it. You know, and until then, keep doing self-scout themselves. I know they can self-scout themselves and know that, hey, this is where our gleaming malfunction right now, and we need to fix this right here. We fix this, we can get back to doing what we do best and be that number one defense.
How disappointed are you that in the span of 3 weeks, we've seen the Bears go from the best team in the NFC North to now, technically, according to the way the standings break down on NFL.com, they're fourth.
They're fourth
because
now?
They have the division loss, so they're technically fourth. They're in last place, and that happens in 3 weeks. Which team do you think they are? Are they the team that was 3-1, or are they the team that we've seen in the last two games?
I told you before, I'm rolling with the team. Until they are mathematically out of the playoffs, I'm rolling with this team because I know, you know, I watch them, you know, just like everybody else, I watch them, but I know how good this team can be. You know, how good they're going to be is yet to be seen. How good they're playing is not up to standard.
Well, let me ask you this then. What gets you excited about them as a team? Like, what things are you looking at? You going, you know what? They might be good. What turned the corner for you? Because you were skeptical coming into this season. So what made you kind of go, okay, I'm invested in this thing?
Well, the one thing we don't talk about this year, we don't talk about how many drops the Bears have. You know, we don't talk about drops. We talk about the guys that are catching the ball and making plays for their quarterback. You know, defensively, we had already talked about how good a defense they were last year and how we see them improving. You know, they bring Khalil Mack in and get extremely better. They have guys that have started to get put into core positions where you expect big things out of these core players, you know. Danny Trevathan, Akeem Hicks, Khalil Mack, Eddie Jackson. And then you have guys that are coming in those role players and Bilal Nichols, you know, the young guys who are coming in and they are making statements in games. You know, we know that we can rotate and we can depend on guys that are backing up our starters as well. Roquan Smith, don't let me leave him out there either. You know, you bring in Matt Nagy, who I do like as a coach. You know, and the spirit, you know, of the Bears, I really endear. Like, I think that this is a team that is headed in the right direction. But, like, at what pace do you decide, you know, that direction you're headed? Are you going to go at a slow pace? You know, you don't lose games that you know that you can win. And right now they've been in five games, and all of them, each and every one of them, I believe they could have won. Everybody in Chicago knows they could have won.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we are going to talk a lot about Mitchell Trubisky and the Bears offense because we haven't really done that. I got 30 more minutes with Lance Briggs here at the Edison Park Inn. My name is Lawrence Holmes. You're listening to The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.